Have you ever wondered how the intersection of technology and migration shaped the experiences of refugee women? What role does digitalization play in their journey towards empowerment? Welcome to Exploring Digital Spheres. This special episode is all about the unique challenges faced by refugee women from Mali and Central Africa as they navigate their new lives in Mauritania and within the tech industry. Follow our Women in Tech project team as they address issues about equality and equity in Mauritania's digital landscape. This episode of the Exploring Digital Spheres podcast takes us to Mauritania, a country in the northwest Africa, bordered by the Sahara Desert. Like many other places in the world, it is navigating the complex dynamics of gender, technology, and societal expectations. In the midst of this digital transformation, women are beginning to break down barriers and boundaries and make their mark on the tech sector. But this is no easy task, and women and marginalized groups face a multitude of challenges. They must overcome different power dynamics and multiple forms of discrimination that reinforce each other. In the next few minutes, we will introduce to you two remarkable refugee women, Fadimata Aisha Walid Mohamed Issa and Mouni Abdul Wahab from Mali and Central Africa, who have made significant contributions to Mauritania's tech industry. Their stories are intertwined with Mauritania's digital development, and we will illustrate this connection for you. My name is Sarah Spitz. As the project lead of the Women in Tech project, conducted by the Alexander von Humboldt Institute for Internet and Society, HIC, I will guide you through this episode. With my colleagues, I had the honor of traveling to Mauritania for a week. Together with the Deutsche Gesellschaft für Internationale Zusammenarbeit, GIZ, and their Digital Transformation Center, DTC, in Mauritania, we organized a multi-stakeholder dialogue and an inspiring lecture in the capital of Mauritania, Nouakchott. During the interactive discussions of the multi-stakeholder dialogue, we looked at strategies and promote diversity in the tech industry, with a particular focus on supporting women in rural areas. We also engaged in conversations about empowering refugee women from various African countries who face challenges related to limited access to digital infrastructure, digital education, devices, and essential digital skills. The aim of the multi-stakeholder dialogue was to achieve a shared understanding of the perspectives, opportunities, and problems that women face in this field. We also discussed strategies and measures to address these obstacles and promote equality and equity in Mauritania's technology sector, as well as to connect different stakeholders in this field with each other. Following the stakeholder dialogue, we had the privilege of interviewing Fadimata and Mouni for this podcast episode, whose insights shed light on the profound impact and significance of digitalization in their lives. This episode therefore centers on their difficult journey and their experiences as refugee women in Mauritania. They bring with them a wealth of knowledge, unique perspectives, and an unwavering resilience born at the intersection of migration and technology. Their compelling narratives are a testament to the transformative power of digital tools that allow them to overcome obstacles, redefine opportunities, and build cultural bridges, while staying connected to their home countries. Before we dive into the interviews, we will now hear from Dr. Teresa Züger, who is a research lead at HIC. She's an expert on artificial intelligence and its societal impact, providing you with invaluable insights into how technology, particularly digital platforms, could help bridging the gender gap in Mauritania.
To begin our exploration of gender representation in the tech industry in Mauritania, let's take a look at some statistics. In 2021, for instance, there was a significant gender gap in the tech industry in Mauritania, with women making up only 29% of the workforce. If we look in more detail between different roles within the tech industry, the discrepancies become even more glaring. In departments such as IT and tech teams, the proportion of women drops to only 21%. And in highly specialized areas such as cybersecurity, it falls to only 12% being women. But the gender gap in Mauritania is not limited to the tech sector only. It extends to various aspects of online presence. In early 2022, data showed that only 20% of LinkedIn users in Mauritania were women, indicating a significant gender gap in the workplace. This discrepancy is visible not only in professional networks. It also is evident on non-work-related social media platforms such as Facebook. There, only 35% of users identify as female, and this means that the majority is still male. This raises the important question about why the digital divide persists in Mauritania and what impact it has on women's participation in the online world and in society in general. Diversity in technology is important for several reasons. First, it plays a critical role in ensuring equal power relations within the tech industry. Technology is the infrastructure of our modern society. And if it does not represent women and other marginalized groups, there is a risk that their particular needs and rights will be neglected or overlooked. Inclusivity in tech industry not only promotes fairness, but also a more equal distribution of opportunity and influence. Inclusivity in the tech industry not only promotes fairness, but also a more equal distribution of opportunity and influence. Secondly, diverse teams have proven time and time again that they can create better products and services that have a greater chance of market success. Recent research has shown that simply the access to mobile phones can make a big difference, especially for women. They can help reduce gender inequality, improve access to healthcare, and empower women to make informed decisions about their lives and their bodies. Besides all these challenges, there's still room for optimism and change. During the Women in Tech project in Mauritania, we had the honor to meet two young refugee women from Mali and from Central Africa. Both of them arrived in Mauritania during their childhood, escaping from their homeland. They grew up in the digital age and told us about their experiences, hopes, and dreams.
So, Fatimata, I'm very happy and delighted that you also are part of this podcast episode. And before we dive into the questions, I would like to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself briefly.
D'accord, merci. Moi, je me nomme Fatimata Aisha Oulet Mohamed-Issa.
So, thank you. My name is Fatimata Aisha Oulet Mohamed-Issa. I'm 26 years old. I'm a refugee from Mali in Mauritania. Thank you.
Can I ask you, when have you come to Mauritania?
Bien sûr. Je suis là depuis 2012.
So I've been here since 2012.
Okay, wow, that's a long time. And nowadays, what are you doing in Nouakchott? What is your job?
Et actuellement, qu'est-ce que vous faites à Nouakchott? Quel est votre travail?
Moi, je suis infirmière.
I am a nurse, actually. I'm working as a nurse, but I also have my business. Along with that, I sell veils in the surroundings of Nouakchott. And this is a business that I have aside of being a nurse.
Dans les proximités de la ville de Nouakchott et d'autres produits de première nécessité.
Okay. And is your family and are your friends still in Mali, and how can you have contact to them right now here from Nouakchott?
Est-ce que votre famille et vos amis sont toujours au Mali, et comment est-ce que vous les contactez à partir de Nouakchott?
J'arrive à garder le contact avec une partie de ma famille.
I keep in touch with a part of my family and friends who have access to the internet via social media, and I use that to be able to interact with my family, with a part of my family, because the other half, for example, cannot access internet because they are in locations where there is no internet connection or connectivity.
Okay. Where and when did you learn how to use technical devices, social media and the internet?
Bon, je dirais que j'ai grandi avec les appareils technologiques.
So I would say that I have grown up in an environment where technology devices were available. So I had learned since a very young age to manipulate, to be working with and touching screens and telephones. So this is something that I have been introduced to at a very young age. I also can use some programs such as Windows, PowerPoint, Excel, Word and other stuff.
Et pour ce qui est du téléphone et des réseaux sociaux,
so as a young teenager, I was able to access all different kinds of social media. Back then, we had Viber, we had maybe Facebook and other applications that are not the ones used today. But since then, I think I've almost always had access to internet and social media.
To settle in a new society, in your case, here in Nouakchott in Mauritania, what would you say is very helpful for refugee women? And what role does digitalization play in this context?
Je dirais que l'accès à l'internet.
So I have internet has helped me find my way through the country because I used Google Maps to go wherever I want to go, and it also helped me finding jobs and new offers, because when I was in the refugee camp, there were opportunities of employment, but they were more or less closed to the wide public. It was a little bit oriented, so it has helped me find my way through job offers.
Même si ça n'a pas vraiment changé grand chose.
Even if it didn't help me straight at the very first beginning finding a job, it has helped me have a community of Mauritanian friends and people I have got to know. And after that, it helped me also find new jobs, new opportunities of employment. But most of all, it has helped me find and create a community of friends and people that I know, and also get to know the country better and the habits and the life, the social life within Mauritania.
That's great that you already have a network here in Mauritania. How do you stay in contact with family and friends in Mali?
Je garde contact avec une partie de ma famille.
I keep in touch with other members of my family that are in different refugee camps, for example, in Algeria, via social media, especially WhatsApp. But it is, even though it remains challenging because of the internet, sometimes the network is not so good in some areas and others.
Malgré les difficultés du début de l'an.
So this WhatsApp, for example, these applications that allow us to be connected are so often interrupted by the lack of data flow or the insufficiency of data flow. Sometimes the videos are interrupted, for example, if they are sent. Sometimes there's absolutely no connectivity. And most of the time, there is interruption when we are talking to each other, especially with the video camera, using video calls.
I can only imagine how difficult that is. I heard that you are very active on social media, especially on TikTok. If you are using other platforms, I would also be interested in knowing which ones. Can you tell us why you use these platforms and what you want to achieve with it?
Bon, je dirais que bien sûr que je suis active sur TikTok.
So I use these social media, and sometimes I get recognized in the street. Sometimes some Mauritanian people tell me, oh, this is Aisha from TikTok, and they recognize me. TikTok is not the only platform that I use. There's also Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and I mainly use those to find out more information about things that are interesting to me. And I also use that to have more information, but also to gather more clients for me to be able to sell more and commercialize my products.
Do you think there are differences in the use and the access of devices, Wi-Fi, between women and men in your refugee community, but also in the rest of Mauritanian society?
Moi personnellement, je vois vraiment pas de différence dans l'utilisation des réseaux sociaux.
So I don't think that there is a difference in use between men and women. Actually, I don't see that difference. I don't see that there's anybody that is favored when compared to somebody else. I think both use internet the same way and have the same access to internet. I think that people underestimate the use of social media. When it comes to my community, they perceive it as a way of value loss. For example, they say that young people expose themselves on social media, showing their lives, their vacancy, and themselves doing nothing. So I think they should understand that if used correctly, social media could be a very important tool for self-empowerment and professional growth.
Et il est important aussi de faire quelques campagnes de sensibilisation sur l'utilisation des réseaux dans le sens coopératif ainsi que sur les dangers et la mauvaise utilisation de ces derniers.
So it is also important to me that somebody conducts sensitization operations to bring to the people's awareness the importance and the positive uses of technology and of social media, but also the dangers and the negative aspects of it.
Yes, that's true. They need to know both sides. How would you like to live in the foreseeable future?
Comment voudrez-vous vivre dans le futur proche?
J'aimerais pour mon avenir être actif sur les différents réseaux dans mon domaine d'activité et être positivement reconnu sur les réseaux. J'aimerais être un exemple de réussite, aussi être l'ambassadrice de certains réseaux afin de démontrer que leur utilisation néfaste ou positive dépend de l'individu. Les réseaux peuvent être un bon levier de changement et de plaidoyer quand ils sont utilisés comme il faut.
So, I would like to be more and more active on social media. I would like to be an inspiration for other generations that are coming on how to use social media positively to expand, grow and be more professional, more known to others. And I think that advocacy operations should be conducted to bring to the awareness of the people the good parts and the bad parts of using social media.
And then we already are at our last question. What role will digital tools play in your future?
Donc on est déjà dans notre dernière question. Quel est le rôle que les outils digitaux jouent dans votre vie, dans votre futur?
Déjà, les outils digitaux sont au centre de ma nouvelle vie. Créer du contenu ne va pas sans support de diffusion et plus accessibilité de facile d'utilisation reste assez digitaux. Pour atteindre mes objectifs, il est important de me former encore plus sur l'utilisation des réseaux sociaux et applications telles que les applications de montage vidéo, photo et des appareils sonores, ainsi que l'utilisation des appareils de prise de vue et du son.
Digital devices are in the core of my daily work, so we cannot produce or share content without these devices' support. I would like to be able to benefit from further training when it comes to video making, video editing, sound making and editing, and it is important for me to know how to use both applications that are audio and video and how to best manage the use of them.
Thank you so much, Fatimata. If you would like to say some last words, we would be open for that, but we are also very happy that you gave us such an insightful interview.
Donc merci beaucoup Fatimata. Si vous voulez donner un dernier mot ou dire quelque chose de plus ou rajouter quelque chose, on serait très content de vous écouter. Mais juste sachez pour l'instant qu'on est très très content de vous avoir reçu et d'avoir pu partager avec vous cet entretien.
Et sachez qu'il en est de même pour moi parce que ça m'a pris déjà à avoir des réflexions sur le futur déjà. Et là, je sais que ça m'a beaucoup aidé. Ça m'a beaucoup aidé ces derniers temps. C'est comme si on m'avait ouvert une porte de dire tout ce que je pense pour que je puisse avoir un développement personnel dans l'avenir.
So it's very important to me also to express my thanks to you. Because your questions and everything that has been happening these last days has allowed me to have my own reflection and projection in the future. Now I'm questioning myself about what it is that I want to do, where do I want to take it from now, and these are thoughts that have been coming with everything that has been happening these last days. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Et c'est déjà que je serai peut-être l'exemple pour les femmes réfugiées de savoir qu'ils sachent que nous, les femmes réfugiées, on est douées d'intelligence et on peut faire plus que ce qu'ils pensent de nous.
So it's also important for me, this empowerment aspect that us as refugee women are smart enough and valuable enough to be able to do more than is expected from us.
Yes, you definitely, both of you, you showed us that the last couple of days. We are so glad that we could work together with you.
Vous deux, vous nous avez absolument montré cela et on a été très contents de pouvoir collaborer et travailler avec vous. Merci.
Thank you so much. We are very delighted that you are here, that you are recording this podcast episode with us. I am so happy that we could meet during this week in Mauritania. And before we dive into the questions, maybe you would like to briefly introduce yourself to the audience.
Okay, le plaisir est pour moi parce que c'est une occasion.
So the pleasure is all mine because I'm also having the opportunity to share my experience as a woman that is coming into a country in which I have never known before, where I don't speak the language, and it's an opportunity for me to share my experience.
Yes, the pleasure is definitely on our side as well. Could you let us know your name again and your age and maybe a little bit what you nowadays do here in Nouakchott in Mauritania?
Okay, je suis Moïni Abdelwahab. Je suis mariée, entrepreneur.
My name is Moïni Abdelwahab. I'm a refugee from Central Africa. I'm here in Mauritania since 2013. I'm 21 years old. I'm an entrepreneur and I do a transformation of agroalimentary products that are local, and I'm a client attendant at Dépan App, which is the first mobile app 100% Mauritanian that has to do with assisting and fixing cars in and automobile in Mauritania.
Okay, wow, this is very interesting. So you have two different careers. Is that correct? Did I understand that correct?
So I'm one of six people that are interested and working on agroalimentary product transformation. That's on one hand.
En même temps, je travaille en tant que service de communication. C'est un service que je fais à la maison. J'ai mon ordinateur et un appareil de numéro. Je reçois des appels où en fait j'envoie les dépannages et les remorquages.
At the same time, I work from home using my computer with this app. I receive calls, phone calls, and I give orders maybe for booting cars or unbooting cars or transporting them or ordering reparation or fixing cars that are not working.
Okay, thank you so much. I would like to focus on both jobs a little bit later on in the interview. And right now, because both of these jobs are in the tech sector, I would like to ask one or two more questions about that, and then we go over to another questions about the job. I'm very interested, or we are very interested, in knowing what is important for you as a refugee woman to settle into a new society here in Mauritania. Which role is digitalization playing in settling into a new country? Internet and all these.
En tant que femme réfugiée, la digitalisation joue beaucoup de choses dans notre vie.
So internet and digital devices are very important to me. Number one, they allow me to be in contact with my family that is living abroad. So it's very important for me. That's a support that I constantly need. And as far as my work is concerned, it allows me, I'm working online, as you already know, and it also allows me to conduct works of marketing and vending and selling my products to the outward. Because as a married woman, it is also important for me to be present, to be physically present in my house, but that does not keep me from doing my work.
Yes, I totally understand that and can relate to her ideas about that. Could you also ask her how she got the first time access to Wi-Fi when she came to Mauritania? Because I can imagine if you enter a new country that this is a very big obstacle.
En fait, en tant qu'une femme réfugiée à Mauritanie, on n'a pas de, y a pas de différence.
So, as a refugee woman in Mauritania, I want to establish this, that there is absolutely no difference when it comes to accessing internet services between us and any other Mauritanian person, any other Mauritanian citizen.
Thank you for clarifying that to us. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about your business. You already said that you are running the business from home. Maybe you can let us know a little bit more how you got to be an entrepreneur and what this all is about.
Okay, parallèlement à mon travail de responsable service client, je gère mon entreprise de vente de produits.
At the same time that I work as an internet app assistant, I also have an assistant of my own, which is helping me actually sell products and target new clients and working via internet. She's working on social media with me, and we are transforming selling agroalimentary products and also cosmetic products. So this is something that I definitely have been doing with the assistance of somebody that I have hired to that purpose.
So you need social media, as you said, like Facebook or other social media to sell your products?
Bien sûr. Pour le moment, j'ai un groupe sur WhatsApp
So absolutely, that's absolutely correct. Right now I have a WhatsApp group that I have created and that is helping me integrate and find more people, more clients, and a Facebook page that allows me to expose my products and collect more and more clients every day.
En dehors des livraisons, mes clients sont aussi les supermarchés.
And when it comes to delivery, my clients are also restaurants and small areas.
Yeah. Okay, so you already have different people and different establishments where you work with already. Yeah, that's great. If we focus a little bit about the future, how would you like to develop and develop your business?
En fait, je souhaite d'abord la paix, retourne dans mon pays d'origine de Centrafrique, afin que je puisse.
Before sharing with you my wishes when it comes to my business, I would like to say that I, first of all and before everything, wish for peace in my country of origin. So I would like to have that peace for my country and my people. After that, I would love to be able to go back home, open a business like the one that I have here, and be able to establish maybe a website, first of all, and then a whole chain that is in Africa. That would be the first 100% African chain that is specialized in selling African products and my products.
That sounds very wonderful. I hope you can, in the future, have the possibility to grow your business as you wish.
J'espère bien.
I hope so too.
Can I ask you about maybe female advocates in your community, in your home country or here in Mauritania, who inspired you to be an entrepreneur in this business?
Déjà, ma mère, elle est une commerçante. Mm. C'est à travers elle que j'ai eu l'idée même de commencer à faire la commerce et le commerce.
So my first inspiration is my mother, because she's also an entrepreneur herself. So she has her own business, and I have developed in an environment that prunes women work. So. And when it comes to my community, no, I unfortunately don't know any refugees that work at the same scale as we do, even though there are a few of them that have also their project and that are running their business, but it remains always maybe on a smaller scale.
So you are a female advocate now in your community for other women, right?
Oui, bon, j'ai créé une petite association dans laquelle.
So yes, we have already started doing that. It's not only an inspiration. More than that, we are financing new activities for refugee women that are we have so far financed. Combien c'était 10 ou 15? 15 activities. Income-generating activities, so for other women to help them get their life started and get back on their feet and start a new life. But our dream is to be able to finance not only refugee women, but also other women, other people in Mauritania that are willing to work but do not have the means and tools that are necessary to implement that work.
That is amazing. Could you let us know about this workshop a little bit more, about these measures you have taken for these people?
Okay, bon, j'ai participé dans un programme d'entrepreneuriat en 2021 qui m'a permis de faire une formation sur l'entrepreneuriat.
I have participated in a workshop, a training. At the end of this training,
A financing of 2 million euros was given to me. So that has allowed me to kickstart my business. And I think it's something very important. That was in 2021. And after that, I have created an association of mine that is concerning women, that is receiving and working with women between 18 and 35 years. It is true that we are in a new country, but that does not mean that we should be living on with our hands tied together, not doing anything. It is true that Mauritania is doing a lot to us and that we are not feeling foreign except for a language barrier, for example, but we should also work to be able to be self-sufficient and then help others.
L'objectif de l'association n'est pas seulement aider les réfugiés centrafricains.
So my goal is not only to help refugees from my own country, but also from other countries, maybe from Mali, from other countries that are living in the same conditions that we are. But and at the end of the day, being also able to give back to Mauritanian people, for example, and Mauritanian women by integrating and incorporating them in our audience, in our members, for example, if they want to work with us.
I think these ideas and also the passion to connect these people is honestly stunning. Yeah, this is a very big topic. I would love to go deeper into this, but I have one question I think that is very interesting to ask. So as you have already mentioned, Mauritania is helping refugee women a lot. And I think, yeah, it sounds like you really have a lot of help to create new businesses or create a new life here. I would be also interested in the differences between men and women coming to Mauritania. Are you seeing differences there, or is this more a helping environment, or maybe she has an idea about that?
Oui, les hommes réfugiés et les femmes réfugiées ont le même problème.
So the main problem of refugees in Mauritania is that, first of all, let me start by saying that yes, they both face the same problems, men and women. And the main problem resides in the fact that most of them have never been to school. So even if they try to find something to do, a work, a job, it is difficult for them, because of instruction levels and because they have not been to school. So I think that conducting these operations are important for everybody, men and women.
Ce sont des gens qui aiment travailler, qui ont des idées, mais ils n'ont pas le moyen pour commencer.
There are people who have ideas, who want to work, but do not have the necessary tools to get started.
So education would be a first step to help people educate themselves, have more language skills to connect with the new community and the new society?
Bien sûr. Déjà aujourd'hui, pour travailler.
Sure, so in our days, about 80% of any business is conducted via social media and with technology. If you can't read, you cannot access that. If you cannot access that, you lose a very big part, an opportunity to be working and to be a leader in your working environment.
Tu trouves 80% des femmes qui ne savent même pas. C'est quoi le téléphone?
About 80% of women do not, of refugee women do not even know what a smartphone is. They don't know how to use it.
Elle ne connaît pas son droit. Elle ne cherche pas à apprendre.
They don't know their rights. They don't try to learn.
C'est à nous qui ont un peu
as other refugee women who have had better chances, better opportunities, I think it's up to us to gather these other women and to explain to them the role of technology, how they could use it.
So after education and language skills, there has to be access to devices, to Wi-Fi. Which devices are you usually using?
Smartphones and computers.
Okay, so there are also computers you can use?
Oui.
Yes.
En fait, HCR, il avait mis une HCR, c'est le haut commissariat.
So HCR has established a center for refugee women to be able to learn how to use internet and digital devices that myself have been a beneficiary of this center. I've been there and I have learned how to use better my electronic devices.
Oh, that is great. I think to know how to use your mobile phone or how to use a laptop, that helps you definitely to build a different future for yourself.
Merci. En fait, nous, les centres africains, notre pays, comme vous le savez, c'est...
So, when I was back home, as you can understand, my country is not a very big developed country. So, when I was back home, I had never heard of what she has called Android. I have never heard of Android or smartphones. It's only after coming to Mauritania that I touched a smartphone for the very first time.
And now it is part of your business.
Et bien sûr, c'était même le tout premier pas que j'ai fait.
Sure, it's the main reason why I have had my opportunity and have become today an entrepreneur. It's thanks to these devices.
So this question may be obsolete, but how is the role of digital devices, or which role will digital devices and tools play in your future?
En fait, je ne vois pas mon avenir sans l'outil numérique.
So I cannot imagine a future without electronic devices and without our mobile phones and our computers. They have become almost part of us, but definitely a part of our work and our business that is conducted in the future.
I hope you will be very successful with your business. I thank you so much for this insightful interview. Thank you so much for participating. And I'm so glad that I got to meet you this week here in Mauritania.
Je suis plus contente qu'elle.
So all my thanks go to you because this is the very first time in my life that I am being interviewed. I am discovering this world, what it is, what it has, and thank you for this opportunity.
As we conclude this episode, we encourage you to reflect on the importance of diversity and inclusion in the tech industry and how it can drive innovation and create a more equitable society. We hope you have been inspired by the stories shared here today, and we invite you to stay connected with us as we continue to explore the ever-evolving digital spheres around the world. Thank you for joining. The Women in Tech project took place from December 2022 to December 2023. Throughout this period, our project team dedicated their efforts to creating innovative knowledge transfer formats and inspirational lectures in collaboration with local stakeholders from academia, politics, business, and civil society across four different countries worldwide. The project is funded by the Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development, BMZ, and implemented by Deutsche Gesellschaft für Internationale Zusammenarbeit, GIZ. This podcast was edited by Sarah Spitz. Scientific input by Dr. Theresa Züger. Interviews with Fadima Zah Aisha Wale Mohamed Issa and Moini Abdul Wahab. Translation by Marie Blümel. Additional voice by Ann-Christine Ziesemer. sound and recording by Alexander Triebsees.